Hello, and welcome to our special series of Green Elephant interviews during March 2021, supporting the annual B Corps Month. B Corporations, or B Corps for short, are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. Throughout March, we are chatting with key people in companies which have chosen to certify as B Corps and become a force for good. Today, I've been joined by Bree Decker from Avocado Green Mattress. With a vision of a world united by sustainability and social responsibility, Avocado Green Mattress are taking the making of eco-luxury organic certified mattresses and bedding to a whole new level. They've been a certified B Corporation for just under a year. Bree is Avocado's sustainability manager and has been inspired by nature from a young age. Using experience in political and non-profit and public sectors, Bree leads the company in social responsibility and sustainability projects, driving new standards in industry and the world at large. So welcome to the show, Bree.
Thank you, Russell. That's a beautiful intro.
Oh, thank you very much. I wrote it myself. give us a little bit of context. We'll call you Avocado from here on in, because Avocado Green Mattress is quite a mouthful to say each time. Avocado, where are you based?
So the corporate headquarters, we have some corporate headquarters in Hoboken, New Jersey, and then our manufacturing facilities are in California, where we also have corporate offices. A lot of the team works remote, including myself, and I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
So you are, that's quite a quite a difference between New Jersey and Los Angeles. Can't really get much further apart, I wouldn't have thought. Has that always been the case, or is that a new development?
Yeah, that's always been the case. So we've kind of just, the company's grown with that structure, but in times when we're not in a pandemic, we'll travel and spend time in the different areas and whatnot. So,
yeah. And as I said to you earlier, Chattanooga has some strange connections for me, mainly come from my mum and dad listening to the music of Glenn Miller, but we won't go into that one. So Avocado Green Mattress, full name, Avocado from here on in. Was this company founded on a green ticket? As I get it, I think you were formed, 2015, something like that?
Yeah, so our founding partners, they were actually having a baby and they were looking for an organic clean mattress for their newborn to sleep on. And they were just kind of shocked at the lack of options that were available in the market at that time. So that was kind of what inspired the company to launch. And the name Avocado came from, we're a green mattress company, right? So it just kind of felt like in line with the brand. But also I believe I might need to be fact-checked on this, but I believe that the newborn, one of his favorite first foods was avocados as well. So it tied back into that cute little story.
Had they had a background in creating bedding?
No, not in bedding per se. They had gone down a number of different business ventures prior, so they were used to working together, but this was kind of a new venture for them. And then just got linked up with really well-connected individuals within the industry as well, and it took off from there.
It's brilliant how these things come about. You just sort of can't find a mattress, so I'll make one.
Right.
All right. It's a bit strange. Yeah. So they were obviously very interested in the health and well-being and comfort of their child. It was born on this green credentials, but the word green is so difficult. What does green mean to the company?
Oh, I mean, that's such a loaded question, right? Because it can mean so many things. I mean, you talk about what a sustainability manager does, and it can be everything. You know, what my role looks like at Avocado can be something entirely different within different organizations. So I think for us, I mean, I started with Avocado at the very beginning of the company. I was one of the first employees that they brought on. And so from the start, you know, there was always a huge focus on sourcing responsibly made and organic materials, right? Yeah. That was, you know, even before we started growing and scaling, that was a main focus. In the 4 years that have followed since I've been on with the organization, the mission has just continued evolving and transforming at a pretty staggering pace, which is cool. So, you know, that encompasses everything from different types of certifications like B Corp, yep, which is how we got connected, MadeSafe, Global Organic Textile Standard, FSC, Climate Neutral, just a plethora of them that represent all different areas of the business, from the product to the operations and the supply chain. And then looking at, you know, everything from our operations, like what do we do with return products, right? Like, do mm-hmm. those go to the landfill, which most mattresses do? No, we get them donated. Making sure that we're giving back to the communities in which we operate. So donating 1% of all of our revenue to back to 1% for the planet, engaging our employees around volunteer campaigns, strategically reacting to some of the things that were happening in this country and around the world last year, like COVID and the social unrest that we saw in a lot of areas, purchasing portions of our supply chain so that we have more transparency and control over what's happening overseas, and really just, you know, doing everything that we can, but still recognizing that there's so much more that we can still do is kind of where it goes, right?
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. I was speaking to somebody else, which will another interview that we'll see on the show in March. And she was saying, you know, we can't be perfectly sustainable. It's not possible, really, because at some mm-hmm. point or another, we will need to waste something. And if we were... It's a very difficult balance to be found. And the B Corporation, you mentioned all those certifications, and it is quite a bewildering collection. We'll put links to your website and your social in our show page when this goes out, and people can see for themselves. You've got a raft of certificates.
Yeah, and there's more in the pipeline.
So why are they so important? Why is certification so important to you?
I mean, you know, right? There's so much greenwashing that goes on within so many different industries across the globe. And so the certifications for us is just a way to prove to our consumer base that we're not just talking the talk, we're also walking the walk. And so it's a way to just back up the claims and build confidence in our brand, and also highlight areas of improvement internally and hold ourselves accountable to the actions that we're doing as well.
Yeah. And B Corp in that context is obviously multi-aspect. You know, it doesn't just focus on a material, doesn't focus on a processing method or anything like that. It's got a very broad spectrum of assessment. Was that unique, or have you got why did you go for B Corp?
Yeah, I mean, B Corp, it felt like an obvious thing to do to us, right? Like, we were already embodying so much of what it means to be a social enterprise. And so, again, it was just a way to back up our claims. I think, you know, it's unique compared to the other certifications because, to your point, it does encompass such a broad spectrum of issues within the organization and making sure that we're addressing each one of those areas. So B Lab's just done a really good job of encompassing all those different elements into one platform in terms of what it means to be a responsible business. So, I mean, not only did it make sense, but it was also a really enlightening experience. You know, anyone, you don't even have to get certified to use the B Impact Report. You can go on there and start exploring and seeing. And even as an organization that we pride ourselves in being a pretty responsible and sustainable enterprise, it's still highlighted so many areas of additional improvement that we can continue working upon. So that was like kind of like a light bulb moment for me. Wow, this is something we'll continue working towards for many, many, many years to come, right?
Well, I mean, that brings me beautifully on to the vision, the probably one of the most challenging visions I've ever read of a company. I read it in the intro, but it's a world united by sustainability and social responsibility. Now, obviously, that's not achievable alone. Is that the point? How do you aim towards a vision like that of a that's painted for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think what we're seeing happen in a lot of cases is that consumers are waking up. You know, they want the companies that they're purchasing from to be acting more responsibly. So by going down these radical, I mean, I wouldn't even say radical, but by going down these paths where we're providing our consumer base with really transparent information about the products that they're purchasing and the company that they're purchasing from, we're almost forcing other companies to follow suit.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's like one of the main areas where we feel like that mission is possible, just because if consumers start to get accustomed to that type of transparency and that type of business structure, then they're going to start asking those questions of other organizations that they purchase from as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the vision is one to inspire not just your company, but to essentially inspire your competitors to meet you there.
Exactly. Sort of thing. Yeah.
No, that's really inspirational. I like that. And so obviously one of the other things I noticed on your site is you've got the climate neutral badge, certified climate neutral. Could you just tell, because that's quite a challenging claim in itself when you're a manufacturer, when your mm-hmm. organization delivers services low impact. It's a lot easier for us to find a climate neutral badge or a climate or net zero or something like that. Mm-hmm. But climate neutrals, that must have been tough.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's an undertaking for sure. I'm in the process that this will be our third year recertifying with them. I mean, we haven't even been in business that long. So we've been climate neutral for most of the years that we've been in business. But the great thing about it is that the folks at Climate Neutral have done a really good job of creating a platform that makes that process accessible to brands, because to go in and perform traditional LCAs and to do those measurements and stuff, I mean, one, it's super time consuming. It's really expensive. And a lot of times you get data that you don't necessarily know what to do with, right? So the Climate Neutral calculator is, it's a really great tool to kind of get like a baseline understanding of your impacts and be able to purchase offsets from there. And they've compiled that data using, you know, data from, they've made the tool using data from LCAs that have been done prior. And we've been happy to work with them and kind of that mission and making sure that we're offsetting all of our impacts when it comes to scope 1, scope 2, and scope 3 emissions.
Okay. So all of these, you know, form a great picture of a company that takes sustainability, social responsibility very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. If we go back to the B Corp, what role did you have in the B Corp certification?
I was the main project manager for that. So I worked internally and identified, you know, different key players from each department and just made sure that we were moving things along. So,
well, was it a challenging process? What I'm trying to, you know, for those people that aren't a B Corp, I do want to get across that, you know, what was the experience of doing it for a company that was founded on green principles?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a good process to go through. And especially the younger you are as an organization, I've had a lot of companies reach out since then and ask me for advice and, oh, you know, we're still in startup mode. Is this something we should pursue right now? And my answer is always, yes, yeah. Now is the time to do it. Because especially as companies get more established and, you know, different norms and regulations and standards get put into place, it's a lot harder to roll back on those things and try to change what's already in motion. Not to say that it can't be done, right? It's still super possible. But for us, we were in kind of a unique position because we were such a new brand. And so we finally got the certification last year, but it took us like several years of working towards that to be able to do it, just in terms of making sure that we had things properly documented and policies rolled out and all that sort of thing. And so, you know, it is really great to do as soon as you can, as in the early stages of the business, because then you build the brand as a B Corp rather than backtrack and try to implement when things have already been set in place. So for us, it wasn't super challenging, I don't think. It was more just like formalities and making sure that we, when B Lab asked for certain documentation, we had something to be able to show them.
Yeah, and it wasn't you just ticking a box and crossing your fingers that they didn't ask for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, been there in other certifications. So is there a particular hot subject in your industry? One I'd like to go back to actually was your comment surrounding your supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the supply chain in any manufacturing is incredibly difficult to track all the way back to essentially where you dug a product out of the earth or farmed it from a animal or from a field.
Right.
What was your approach to I'm kind of going back on myself a bit, but hey, I'm asking the question. How did you achieve that? I mean, you mentioned the interesting approach of buying part of your supply chain when you couldn't convince it, but what was the challenge there?
Yeah, I mean, I should rephrase what I said. Rather than buying our supply, I mean, we do own parts of our supply chain, but what we viewed it as was an investment, right? Because we were able to go into these communities also overseas that have been traditionally underrepresented and invest in their communities, give them technology that they need to better perform, provide social services so that they can get well-rounded medical and all that sort of thing too. So to us, it felt like the obvious move. You know, the more we can have control over the entire stage of our product, so that's from the beginning, from the supply chain, all the way down to the end of the life, the better, because the more control we have, the more we can dictate exactly what goes on and know how, you know, have the data to back
and
things
the heart,
up.
Sort of stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it, you know, it's been really enlightening because I've started to kind of break into the field, into the realm of working with our supply chains to get even more credentials in terms of certifications and learn more about that process. So I don't think I can speak too much to it right now, just because I'm still in the learning process, but it's been really good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great. So there was three questions I like to ask at all of our interviewees. Now, we might have touched on these already, but let's just humor me for a moment.
Okay.
Why did the company, what was the reason you've got so many certifications? Why did you become a B Corp? What drove them? You said it was just a natural response, just a normal thing, but just to pick up another one because it's, you know, it was easy for you to get. I'm being glib, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think the logo says a lot. You know, for consumers who are aware of what a B Corp is, which it's becoming more popular and it's becoming more common. I mean, when personally, especially after going through the process, when I see that logo on products, I'm like, okay, they're doing it right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, again, I think it was just more a way to continue building brand confidence through our customers and making sure that we're operating not just with our, you know, with the supply chain and with certain stakeholders of the business, but rather fully encompassing everyone who the business touches points with.
Okay, yeah. Well, the final question in my collection is, because I think we've answered very much whether certification is a walk in the park or not. Not really. The better prepared you are, nearly you do it. I do like the idea. I like the idea of a startup coming up and going, actually, I'm going to try and apply for B Corp, even though I don't produce anything. It becomes harder, I guess.
Yeah.
But to a certain extent, easier. There won't be so many open doors to you. But can you put a finger on why you and the company value the B Corp movement as a whole, not just the certification and the brand, but what underlies it, what goes on within it?
Oh, I mean, it's so much, right? I mean, for me personally, I've spent a lot of time overseas, especially in Latin America, and I've seen so much like how unrefined capitalism is affecting populations over there, like particularly the indigenous populations that are already disadvantaged, right? Yeah. And so for me, it's kind of like a personal thing in terms of making sure that we're refining capitalism to kind of work for everyone, because it's how the world is functioning at this point, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. So, you know, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the company, I think it's just a super powerful movement that is going to continue inspiring different levels of systemic change, right? Like both at the local, the state, the national, and even the global level. So we're really excited to be plugged into the community, to start making connections with other businesses that are operating in a similar space, creating alliances. So, you know, through the B Corp movement, I've been introduced to a lot of political and like policy advocacy organizations. So we've been able to team up with other companies that are operating with similar mindsets and in similar spaces, and start to advocate for systemic change at some of our roots. And so that's been a really powerful movement. And I just feel like the more that we all band together and kind of hold each other to these high standards, the more that other companies who maybe are not acting in such a responsible way are going to be forced to step it up, hopefully. It's the goal, right?
The competitive advantage will be sustainability, not necessarily
exactly
or anything like that. Can I ask you, and you can declare, this isn't a political question, but obviously from the UK, we're watching what's gone on. It's been an interesting past 5 years, interesting past year. And without, you know, asking any political viewpoints, what's your thoughts on Joe Biden's plans in the sustainability space? So I haven't heard it from an American.
Oh, I mean, we're obviously very excited about it. You know, great steps in the right direction. There's still obviously room for lots of improvement, especially from coming from a company that produces so much product and is having such an impact on different companies and industries around the world. But it's obviously a great improvement from what we were dealing with the past 4 years and fighting uphill battles. Yeah, that was not representing Avocado. That was just my personal views, just for the record.
So, well, you can listen back to our show as we looked on in some dismay as the Paris Agreement was left and then joined back again, and we were going, what is going on? And it all seemed a bit strange. And out of America comes the B Corp, and out of the America comes Cradle to Cradle and other great movements that could potentially revolutionize. Who's it? Al Gore recently saluted the B Corp movement and said this is the way to reshape capitalism, or worse to that effect. And I think, you know, there's so much going on in your huge country, where you probably you're a huge company, with a huge impact and very well connected, obviously. And you know, it was like looking across, going, "What the blazes is going on? We can't afford for the Western world to struggle like this. We need to be driving it ahead as the B Corp movement is."
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the world's powers, and so we need to be acting responsibly in that space and kind of like setting an example for all the others too, you know. But I have hope. I'm also we're also really excited to be starting the work that we're doing in the political policy and advocacy sector right now, because it's going to be such a different playing field trying to forward some of those initiatives with the current administration versus what we were dealing with. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So swings and roundabouts a little bit. Okay. Well, we ask each of our interviewees, our victims, if they have an action which they could recommend for our herd of listeners. Have you got a tasty action for us to do?
Yeah. So I know that you ask for both a recommendation and an action, and they kind of play on each other in this case. So I'm going to go ahead and throw them both out there. I'm sure you've probably seen it, but B-Lab recently released the Climate Justice Playbook for Business.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a really great resource, and that's my recommendation if you haven't gotten a chance to check it out already. I love the content that they've been able to pair up with other organizations and kind of put all that together.
Okay.
One of the things that they recommended and that they touched on was how this transformation for climate is actually kind of like a deep, challenging and personal work is required in order to get there. And so I feel like a lot of people, especially in the sustainability field, we tend to be, you know, a little bit more science focused and stuff, which is great, but doing something that's going to generate more mindful practices are also going to be really good too. So journaling, I think it's really good to start journaling every day and using like online prompts to kind of start to challenge yourself to think about some of your deeply rooted belief systems and see like where those come from and what changes you may need to make to be able to move forward and work in conjunction with the rest of humanity.
Okay. So, I mean, that's one we haven't had before. Journaling. So I've tried journaling. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend I start journaling? You know, what do I do? Do you use an app? Do you have I'm not a great fan of paper. I'm not a great fan of reading or writing, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I also sometimes when I get in the mood to write, I can't, my pen and hand cannot keep up with all of the thoughts that I have going in my mind. So I have just a Google Doc, you know, okay. That's like a kind of where I start to write things down and I'll just go in there and start typing away. Especially if you're not used to doing it and expressing some of those things, it's really good to look up prompts. You know, questions online, kind of like to ask yourself and get ideas flowing and moving.
So. I did start using a product, an app called Day One, mm-hmm. which is a journaling app, and that does actually come up and say, "I'm in a journal for a few days. You better get your act together." So that might be. Plus, I need to turn the notifications off. A bit of a mistake, I suppose. But after a year of ignoring them, I thought I better not. Okay, yeah. so we've got this mashed together action, go get the justice playbook, the recommendation, but then get down to journaling. I like that.
Yeah.
So finally, I understand that you have some fact or fakes, which you're prepared to challenge me with in the subject of mattresses.
I do. Yeah, they're mattress themed. So
okay,
let's see what you got.
Go for it.
All right, there are more mattress stores in the United States than McDonald's.
Oh, that's a yes, no. That's a straight yes, no. It's not percentages. There are more mattress stores in the United States than McDonald's. From an outsider's view, that would seem a ridiculous statement, but because it sounds so ridiculous, I'm going to say fact.
It is a fact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lucky
guess. It's crazy but it's true. So
well, I you know, I've always said you're either on a mattress or you're in shoes, so it's probably the same for shoe shops.
yeah maybe, I'm not
maybe,
sure,
maybe we have to look that up.
Yeah, it's funny. So okay, let's do the second one. 4 million mattresses go into the landfill every year in the UK alone. That's enough to completely fill the Wembley Stadium two times over.
Ooh, 4,000 mattresses.
4 million.
4 million. Sorry, two times the size of Wembley. I did a little bit of work on a Wembley Stadium, filling Wembley Stadium with CO2. Mm. It's a big. That's a big place.
Mm-hmm.
In the UK alone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, that's so difficult. That's I'm gonna say that's a fake.
Oh, you're on a roll.
Oh.
So it's a fake, but it's actually worse than that. So in the UK alone, 7.5 million mattresses go into the landfill every year, and that's enough to fill the stadium five times over.
That is bonkers. I mean, I've never been to the Wembley Stadium, but I know it fits nearly 80,000 people. That is bonkers.
Yeah. So okay. In 1 year, 7.5 million mattresses.
Brilliant fact. Love it.
latex trees, our mattresses are made of latex foam. So latex trees can be tapped every other day and the trees will survive for 50 years.
You know what? I don't think I ever knew where latex comes from, and I hadn't really thought about it coming out of a tree. So unless that in itself is a fact, I'm assuming that is correct. They last 50 years, and every other day. Nature is amazing. I read in, you know, when I did your little intro, it said that you were inspired by nature, and it is an amazing thing. So I'm going to say a fact.
So it's a fake, but it's also better than what I said. So latex trees can be tapped daily and they survive for 100 years.
that what an incredible renewable resource. I mean, kind of always thought the latex in my head was a petrochemical produced something. I don't know. I don't think
I mean, there is synthetically produced rubber, but a lot of latex comes from tree sap. So,
and every day, and they can just basically wow. Well, yeah. Hats off to nature. I get a 2-1 win, unless you've got any more for me.
I have others, actually. I have two more if you want them.
Go on. Let's see if you can claw it back.
Okay. So to make a queen size latex mattress, it will take a whole day's output of 12 acres of latex trees, rubber trees.
To make a queen size.
Yeah. So you have to harvest 12 acres of trees to make one queen size mattress.
That's a lot of tree. Okay. And does queen size, is that one of the biggest mattresses that you?
Yeah, king's the biggest, and then it's like the next size down.
For us, queen, I think in the UK, queen is bigger than the king.
Really?
But
not surprising.
We do have a queen, so.
Right.
I'm going to say that, that sounds horrific. 12 acres. I'm going to say that is a fact.
Correct.
12 acres.
Yes. Yeah, so bonkers. It's wild. I know. It's crazy.
Okay, so although you're tapping them every day.
Oh, yeah. And we have a lot more than 12 acres. over the lifespan of 100 years, those 12 acres of rubber trees that we had just talked about that's used to make one queen-size mattress will remove over 140,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
That 12 acres?
Yeah, those 12 acres over their lifespan of 100 years will remove over 140,000 tons of carbon dioxide.
I think this is an interesting one where people think that you grow a tree and you're going to save the world. And it takes a lot of trees to suck. And they have to get to an age before they become effectively sequestering carbon. Those figures are difficult and I don't know. So I'm going to call it a fact.
Correct. Oh. Good job. You won.
to be honest, on a true false where I was guessing. No, I was guessing all of those.
I knew they would be unique. Win. They're unique to the mattress industry. So I was like, oh yeah, these will be good.
We'll love sharing those with people because we share those on the social as well afterwards. So we'll enjoy sharing those because they are a unique insight to something I'd never even thought of.
Yes.
Well, with that stunning win on my behalf, but no defeat to you. Mine was pure guesswork. I'd just like to thank you, Bree, for joining us today, and wish you all the best with Avocado and its very, very green endeavors.
Thank you. We're happy to be here. I appreciate you hosting us.
We really hope that you found this special B Corp Month episode both informative and entertaining. Make sure you don't miss any of the 31 interviews with B Corporations who are striving to be a force for good. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing, and don't forget to spread the word with others. If you have any questions about being or becoming a B Corp or any comments and suggestions about the show, please do get in touch. can email studio@greenelephant.show or visit the website greenelephant.show or find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube or Twitter by searching for Green Elipod or The Green Elephant Show. You can also review the show on Google and Apple Podcasts. Join us tomorrow and we hope you have a sustainable day.